The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Right here on Money FM 89.3, The Breakfast Huddle has a Sustainable Singapore series. And in September, a record 7.6 million people worldwide took to the streets to strike for climate action in the biggest climate mobilization in history.
Yeah, and increasingly businesses are being taken to task for their social and environmental impact. Because of this, the UN Climate Action Summit earlier this year, 87 major companies with a combined market cap of over $2.3 trillion committed to set climate targets across their operations and value chains.
Just give you some notable ones: Danone, IKEA, L'Oreal, Nestle, quite some of the more famous names. This means they will align with limiting global temperature rise to 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels and reaching net zero emissions by no later than the year 2050.
Yep, important targets. Here in Singapore, DBS has been one champion of sustainability, picking up various awards and recognitions. In fact, DBS has a CSO, a Chief Sustainability Officer.
And we've got the man himself in the studio with us this morning, Mikael Larsen, Chief Sustainability Officer at DBS. Good morning, Mikael, and welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
I foresee this as a new education route. People saying, oh, I want to be a CEO of a company. You'll have these bunch of kids that will come out and say, no, I want to be a CSO of a company. Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be very cool indeed. Although I think today we don't really have direct pathway to such a role. People get to hear from all kinds of walks of life.
Yeah.
Are you the greenest guy in the office? And what's your background? How did you end up in this role?
Well, thanks for asking. I don't know if I'm the greenest guy. I think every single one of us could definitely do more. But it's also true that if you take on such a role, it comes with a certain obligation to try and walk the talk. So undoubtedly, as from I started to take on this role, I already did some things right. But surely I've been trying to improve on myself. And today, there's something called the Sustainability Development Goals. I think we all know about them. So I have my own 17 now, which is just my little way of keeping track of things that I'm doing and actually trying to do the right things. Some of them are easy, some of them are not so easy to do.
Okay.
You're CSO at a bank, DBS.
Yes.
What role do you think banks play in environmental development?
Yeah, it's a great question because I think sometimes when we think about it, the intuitive view is can't be doing very much. After all, we are handling money, not physical product in the same sense. So how much of an impact can we make? But it's also true to say that who we choose to lend to and give money to will make an awful lot of difference. So the material impact that we can make is through how we direct our money, how we make it easy for our customers and follow them on a journey to become socially, environmentally conscious. And of course, at the same time, walking the talk by doing our own bit. Actually, the role that a bank can play is enormous.
Mm. I mean, this is really fascinating. In terms of some of your key goals, how do you manage tricky deals, for example? Let's talk about coal mining companies. Does this, the fact that you're a CSO and that DBS has this sustainability edge, let's say, does it mean that it won't invest in those sorts of companies or won't facilitate investments?
Yeah, so you may know that specifically on the point of coal, we made a decision earlier this year to discontinue coal-fired power plant lending. But at a broader notion, we have a set of responsible lending guidelines that kind of governs what kind of criteria we would have for lending to any industries. And in making such a decision, we always have to find the balance between making sure that we know about the social implication and the environmental implications. And so the trick is really to find the balance that respects the differences of the countries that we're in, the development stage that they're in, and the alternative that they have to whatever we are financing at this point in time. So we go through that rigorous process whenever we are looking at an industry which have some environmental social impact. And I think that's important to do, and it's a helpful exercise to get you thinking about the impact, I said, that we can make as a bank.
I'm curious, you talk about having these guidelines, an assessment, so to speak.
Yes.
What's the length like to wait for this so-called sustainability assessment? How long does it take to really assess the company?
Yeah, so that really depends on the type of deal that you're dealing with. If you're dealing with a simple company who's not in a complicated industry, it's very fast.
Sure.
The customers would probably hardly notice it. If you're dealing with for something called project finance, we're looking at a very big infrastructure project. This is a very extensive exercise that you would have to go through. And it's only natural. It's not just us asking for it. You know, it's part of the whole that's built into the project financing structure. And so here we're talking about potentially months where there's a back and forth with the clients. And it's a meaningful process to go through both of the clients and from our point of view.
Can you share a bit more on your sustainability projects and how they've actually been implemented? And do you think that there are any areas where you could just do better?
I think we can all do better, no doubt about it. As I said, it's all about trying to reach a compromise between being very conscious about why we're doing what we're doing. So you can take a very extreme stance in favor of social development or environmental development, and I think you would find that none of them are probably where you want to be. So if I'm thinking about our own, as I said, we fall deeply about why we're doing the lending we are doing. But of course, we could push even harder for products that can help our clients to come green. We're pushing very, very hard. But I'm sure there's always more we could do. In the same way that we are looking at our own internal actions, you know, being the CSO, you always dream of the unimaginable, about we can all become vegans, we can all do these things. But I'm also a realist, right? So in the sense that I also know that people, it takes time for people to change. We all know it. Change is difficult, right? Until you develop a new habit. So you need to make it easy for people to change. We need to make it easy for our clients to change. You cannot expect that you impose things on them just because that you feel that that is the standard that you want to live by. Mm. So
we're speaking this morning with Mikael Larsen, who is the Chief Sustainability Officer at DBS, talking about the emphasis on corporate governance over the years, from something that's trendy to something that's so important these days. How has DBS reap the benefits of this? I mean, if you could measure it, is there a way to measure the success of your efforts?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I wish it was that easy. We truly try. You have to remember that being sustainable is something that reaps benefit in the very long term. It's not the same way as you make a return on investment calculation, because some of the benefits you get is to have a social license to operate and being relevant for your clients in the longer term. If as our clients are taking a change as a result of climate change, for example, if we don't have anything to offer them, then we won't be their bank of choice. Mm. But that's hard to measure, that the fact that they would have chosen someone else. And equally, if you're trying to engage your employees or getting your investors to like you, it is not quantifiable in an easy sense. I wish I could tell you that the value of sustainability is right. $9.5 billion, but it isn't always that easy. I know of companies who've been trying to go down that route, and we've done some rudimentary determination ourselves. But it wouldn't be something I think would be as robust as you would like it to be.
Okay, so it's difficult to measure, but in terms of the engagement from clients and from people within the bank, obviously DBS was a bit ahead of the curve because it wanted a CSO in the first place, so it's already of that mindset. But it's sometimes, especially with the whole climate change conversation, it's like steering a juggernaut onto a different path.
Yes.
How has it been for you? Have you felt that it's gotten easier, or is it still equally as challenging as it was at the beginning?
No, I think it has gotten easier. If you talk specifically about climate change, the fact that it is now something that regulator is pushing for, not just our own prudential regulators, which I give a lot of credit for the things they've come up with, but you see that we've introduced a carbon tax. I think people are realizing that whether they buy into the narrative or not, this is going to change how they do business. So obviously, as the burning platform is becoming more real, it is a lot easier to navigate towards it. But that doesn't mean it's easy. We've all heard the debate that exists around who should be paying for the bill that is about to come, and the fact that technology will solve some of the problems, but maybe not all of them. We know that there are going to be industries that are much more difficult to decarbonize. And sure, this will be a longer transition. So yes, it's easier, but no, it's not always easy.
Right.
And we are also struggling by the fact that it's not so easy to measure and quantify some of these things.
Yeah. Is it difficult to then portion out DBS profits on how much you can spend for sustainability? how much of it is being spent on sustainability, in fact.
Yeah, and I don't think that's actually the way you should be doing it, because if you said sustainability was an effort that I was doing in some kind of silo, then I don't think we are sustainable by definition, because then it would be saying, hey, take a pot of money and go and do some good with it, and then we're sustainable.
Yeah.
The magic doesn't happen because you have a CSO. In fact, I think you have to be quite humble about the role. I think the magic happens when the businesses start to change, when your operations start to change, when your procurement processes start to change. And so if you try to calculate that, then everybody, maybe that's too much to say every employees, but there are many parts of the bank who spend time on it because it becomes part of the way you want to do your business. And then there isn't a budget for that per se.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that there isn't, because then I would be held to it.
Yeah, very, very, very briefly then. It's actually, because we always talk about sustainability as doing good, but actually it's doing what is necessary.
Yes.
I wanted to talk about this climate activism that we're seeing all over the world. Yeah. What sort of impact is it having on businesses?
Yeah, for one thing is sure, as I said earlier, it will make a difference to everybody, because you can choose to have a view that you don't think is the right way to go about doing it, but it forces a change upon people, right? I don't think we would have seen the pace of change that if it hadn't been for that activism. And like anything else, it presents an opportunity or a risk depending on how you choose to respond to it. As I mentioned, legislation is changing, stakeholders' expectations, consumers' expectations are changing, and which means that if you don't choose to change, then for sure you're going to see your revenue suffer. But on the other side, it does create opportunities, both for us as a bank, but for every consumer-facing company, to actually provide that which is now expected from us as consumers, right? So I think it's going to lead to dramatic change.
Mikhail, in your opinion, and let's talk a little bit about the current state of business sustainability. In your opinion, where do you think are some of the gaps and what opportunities do you see at the moment?
Yeah, so I sometimes wonder, how sustainable are we as companies today? And I think it very much depends on what yardstick you put towards. If you're taking the strictest yardstick, which is we all have to be regenerative, and by that I mean that we give back more to nature and social than we take, then I'd be quite depressed, because I think that's just not how companies were built. There's a wonderful book called The Limit to Growth, and it talks about that all the business that we built today was built in an empty world.
Sure.
And an empty world means one where we didn't really have to care about the natural environment, because there's enough of it, right? So the way we produce food, the way we produce clothes, the way we produce so many things, it's just not efficient, because it wasn't something we were limited by. But now that we're in a full world, we do have to care. So to take that change, it takes time. So we all need to try and think about the full life range, lifetime cycle of the product that we create, and what happens from we produce it all the way through the supply chain and all the way to it finds its final resting place somewhere. And therefore, I think that thinking is missing today in many places.
It's a generation of education and change. The young generation ready for this? Are they stepping up enough?
We always say that, right? And I want to believe it. And I do believe it. I do believe that obviously the younger generation is more ready than the older one. But I also think that some of the changes that we will all have to make are really hard changes. If we truly need to live below the individual budget for carbon emission, which is, you know, what creates climate change, we have to make some dramatic changes which make real lifestyle changes. And sometimes I wonder if even the young generation is ready for it. And so sometimes we're just hoping that technology may solve some of it, and surely will solve some of it for us. But once we start to open our eyes to just how dramatic changes we needed, who knows who's ready for it?
Yeah. If you start tracking your carbon footprint in a day, it can become quite shocking. But, you know, there's a time going to come where we're going to have to start doing that. Let's talk about Asia more specifically. Do you think corporations out here are doing enough when it comes to sustainability from what you've seen?
As I said before, I don't think corporations almost anywhere in the world is doing enough. So I don't think necessarily, there is this saying that Asian companies were late to the game. This was something that the Europeans and the Western Hemisphere caught on to first, and now we're catching up. I also think, you know, that you have to think about the different situation that Asian companies are in. If we're talking about other markets than just Singapore, surrounding companies which are still developing countries, I think it is hard to measure them by exactly the same yardstick as you would by countries which are much richer. So if I was a mayor of a major city in one of the developing countries, and I want to see if I could do what they've done in Scandinavia, for example, where I'm from, I think that's an unfair comparison. The amount of social issues you have to deal with in the development countries are so much larger. So, yeah, sure, as I said, everybody can do more, but I think we have to give some credit to the fact that things are trying, and the speed of which people are catching up out here is quite fast.
Mikhail, you're the Chief Sustainability Officer at DBS. You've been in the role for about 2 years, and
yeah,
you're the first one there. And I just want to get into your mind here. As the CSO of a company, do you have an ultimate vision of how a sustainable business should look like? Or is it just, hey, I'll keep making the change a bit until I get to the maximum that I can change?
It's a bit of both.
Okay.
But I think you wouldn't have this job if you weren't a bit of a dreamer. So of course I do have that. But I also realize that I said that you must not make the perfect the enemy of the good, right? So I'll take the progress when we get them. But I think there's so many definitions of what a truly sustainable company is, and I'm not going to bore you with all of them. For me, it's really about a company who's thought about the impact that they make and why they're making it. So again, these trade-offs that they're choosing to make. So being conscious about the fact that every single company will have some social and environmental implications, food supply chain, through who is giving them money to, and having thought through that, for me, makes you conscious, and that's a really, really important first step to being sustainable. So I'll be very happy if companies would just engage in all that in that conversation. Whether they then choose to have a yardstick that is slightly different from mine, that's inevitable. We all have different views on different industries, but I think that's the core of being sustainable, having thought through the impact that you make and then responding to them. And in the banking industry, that's conceptually easy. It is really hard to quantify.
Lots to think about this morning, huh?
Yeah, very much so, very much so. But, you know, congratulations for being out there.
We've been speaking with Miguel Larsen, who is the Chief Sustainability Officer at DBS, on the Breakfast Huddle Sustainable Singapore series, written and produced by Rianne Lovell-Bolin.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.